Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is living a productive life. And I'd like to give some credit to the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey wrote 24 volumes of literature, and the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show comes from the works of Alice Bailey, as does the following thought: those who are awakened to the purpose of experience find in every event some gain to the life of the soul. Does this mean that for the soul, there are no limitations to living a meaningful life?
I think so. Our inner self, that higher, more divine aspect, which is our true nature and which had a purpose in coming into incarnation through our birth, is able to work with whatever substance we offer the soul. Certainly, if we offer up an emotional life that's full of turmoil and anger and unrest, or if we have a physical life that includes a lot of bad practices that harm our health and our well-being, or if we have a mind full of hatred or criticism, we're not offering the soul very useful substance. But if we basically live our lives as well as we know how, then I think we can say that the soul can make of whatever circumstances we are currently in something productive, something that casts its light a bit further afield. And I love this thought from the writings of Alice Bailey, that there is no circumstance, no event that doesn't offer some gain to the life of the soul, because it gives one hope. Everybody from time to time finds themselves in the most awful circumstances, awful in terms of what we would prefer life to be. But sometimes those very tests and difficulties are the most enriching to the soul. And I think if all of us would look back on our lives and try to identify the major episodes in life where we really learned something that had lasting spiritual value, we might find ourselves going back to those very difficult or limited circumstances. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think lessons can be extracted from every experience, even the most mundane ones, particularly, I think, those that have to do with relationships. And you'll find that, of course, in every family situation. People are working out relationships between husband and wife, between parents and children, between children and their siblings and their friends. It's a constant constant testing for these, working out these relationships. And if there is a lot of conflict in the relationships, then that should tell us that, or that should tell the people involved, that there is something wrong there that still needs to be learned. And the biggest lesson in that the soul can gain from all of this is our ability or not to love. And that's what we really gain from relationships, is whether we're constantly being tested on this aspect of love?
Well, the soul is actually the sense of relationship or the capacity for relationships. So mm-hmm. certainly, as you say, our relationships are the very learning field, the classroom for the soul. And I would say especially the difficult ones. We find some people who are easy for us to love because they're very much, they're familiar to us in some way. We could say familiar in the sense of their vibration or their quality. It's something that's harmonious with our own quality. But there are other people who are a challenge for us, and they might be our teachers. A friend of mine said, there are no enemies, only teachers. And that, again, is looking at life and relationships and circumstances as productive. They are what we make of them. There's an old cliche saying, bloom where you are planted. And I think that's what is behind this realization that any ground we stand on is potentially fertile. So many of us, I think especially in the Western world, find ourselves thinking about how we'd like to rearrange our circumstances, rearrange our lives, make some changes in our occupation, in our friendships, in our marriage partner, in our education, in the place where we live. We'd like to make changes and then life would be great. But that really is a kind of a manipulation, I think, that ignores the fact that the soul right now seeks to express through us.
And I think the soul deliberately chooses certain places in the world, certain locations, certain family groups, certain ethnic groups. It deliberately chooses these situations so that it can work out particular lessons or particular patterns that it is trying to achieve. And so we see the soul working through very difficult situations sometimes, and you wonder what in the world can be going on there, not only on the physical side, but what's really happening to the soul to this in this situation. And I'm thinking of like Helen Keller. You remember Helen Keller? She mm-hmm. was both blind and deaf, and she had tremendous limitations imposed upon her and by this soul. But she came through. She learned to speak and to communicate in spite of all of these tremendous limitations. And I think that her life was a tremendous lesson for the soul, for what the soul can do in life.
It's said in the writings of Alice Bailey that service is the expression of the soul in the world. And we've talked a lot on these programs about the need to serve. What we are saying today is that service doesn't depend on the arrangement of a certain set of conditions, but it's something that emanates through the soul at any stage or in any condition. And I think making that realization is liberating, because so many people feel that to serve they would have to have more education, more talent, a different occupation, or freedom from daily family responsibilities. None of that is necessary. To the soul, service is the quality of the soul radiating through its instrument, the personality. That occurs wherever one is. And certainly an example like Helen Keller is a supreme example of the real spiritual vitality that came through her even though she couldn't hear or speak or see.
And it's just a mark of the power of the soul to exercise its will to work out even through the limitations that is imposed upon this person, by this person. And also another one that we've thought of recently was Stephen Hawking, you know, the physicist, is mm-hmm. he? In the British physicist. He's
yeah.
has his body is completely useless to him, but he has a mind that works extremely well, And that's really what he's doing. And he's doing a tremendous service by just working through the tremendous limitations of this physical body, what's left of it. But he can still use his mind, and that's the important thing. That's the main thing in his service to the world.
Alice Bailey said that service is a life demonstration, and I like that that expression, a life demonstration. And it's a soul urge. The soul intends, and we could say deeply desires, to express its loving radiance through each of us. So that suggests that what we need to do is simply release ourselves to this radiation that seeks to express through us. I think that depends upon a certain amount of detachment, obviously. If we have strong desires and mental idée fixes that get in the way, then we're not detached. We have preconditions and expectations about life that have to be met. But when we give up all of that and we simply love and seek harmony and unity with others, then the soul can work through us.
It's getting oneself out of the way. Mm-hmm. And that's quite often one of the big limitations that we put before the soul is that little ego that just wants to stand out by itself. And that's probably the biggest limitations, aside from all the other physical limitations that one mm-hmm. might have. And it's that very strong personality that wants to exercise its will in the world. And as you say, that has to be, the more that can stand out of the way and stand aside, then more of the soul energies come through.
Maybe after the break we can talk a bit about why service is especially important and possible in old age.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today is living a productive life. We have an offer for you today. It's a gift. And as you know, shipping can be very expensive when you buy anything and it's shipped to you. It's getting very expensive. Well, our offer today has to do with buying the book upon which this show is based. The title of the book is called Serving Humanity by Alice Bailey. And it's a compilation of extracts from the books of Alice Bailey. And it's available for $16, and that's the price that you pay, discounting the shipping. The shipping would make the price a lot more. But for today, if you give us a call and either today or during the week and mention that you just write a little notation, maybe on a post-it or something, and stick it on the order, and just mention that you heard this offer mentioned on the show Inner Sight, then we'll give you the book for $16. You can order by sending a check or money order to Lucis, that's L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And once again, that's send the check or money order, $16, to Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And also, if you'd like a general package of information, many people call up and they want to know more about Lucis Trust, and I guess probably the most generic answer to that is that Lucis Trust is not a religion. We have people from all walks of life who attend the meetings, listen to the radio shows, read the literature, and it's quite possible that any gathering of people interested in Lucis Trust, you'll find people of a multiple number of religious backgrounds. So if you'd like the general package of information, we'll be happy to send it out to you. What you have to do is call 1-866-695-8247. Once again, that's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. That's 1-866. Think of New York Lucis. Our website, and by the way, we have a an entire library of radio shows that we've archived on the website with so many different themes coming from the works of Alice Bailey. But in order to key into that archive library of shows, you'd have to key into our website, which is www.lucistrust.org. That's, again, it's www.lucistrust.org. And we'd like to return to our show, Living a Productive Life. I have a real challenge for you, Sarah and Dale. I remember a friend of mine, who I haven't been in contact with now for quite some time, but we grew up together. And I always admired him. He would do just the most unbelievable work of service. He would go into penitentiaries and talk to the prisoners and do so many uplifting things with them. And then he became a paraplegic, totally paralyzed. And one of the main causes of his ensuing depression is that he could not be of service to people anymore. How would that fit into what we're talking about right now?
Well, it's not true that he couldn't be of service anymore, but he had to learn to be of service in a different way. I think a lot of people think of service as activity, something you do.
I would, yeah.
Yeah, that's the traditional, and it is one type of service. Certainly doing actions that make other people's lives easier or uplifted is very important. But there's another kind of service that's more subjective, that works in the background and that operates more on the level of energy. And it's a kind of spiritual service that is silent and unseen. And it is something that is available especially to people as they get older and withdraw from the more active aspect of life. Or those who, like your friend, might be invalids for some reason due to health problems or injuries and live a more reclusive life. It's service on the level of consciousness.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, it's something that takes a lot of practice and development, just as any kind of service does. You can't immediately fall into it and be a natural at it, at least most of us couldn't. But through the learning of meditation and the constant watching of the quality of one's thinking, one can contribute to the clarification of the airwaves, we could say, to the radiation of light and love into the consciousness that all of us draw from and contribute to.
Mm-hmm. That consciousness is, of course, comes by way of the soul. That's what the soul provides for the personality life, is this factor of consciousness. And
people may think that consciousness comes in boxes, that you have your consciousness, mm-hmm. your perception of reality, I have mine, and the two don't mix. But just think of how at a concert or a large gathering, how the emotional attitudes of the crowd can be catching and inflame everybody.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. We all participate in a vast pool of consciousness.
It can be quite contagious, the emotionalism mm-hmm. in a crowd.
Yeah. Well, so can clarification.
Yeah, it's something that doesn't rise up out of the brain cells. There is a consciousness at the brain cell level, but the type of soul consciousness that we're talking about here is something that comes by way of the soul. It's brought in when one is born, and it doesn't. It needs a brain to work through, but it doesn't rise up. It isn't a product of the brain itself. But I was just thinking while you were speaking that even someone who is a paraplegic or in some way incapacitated physically, they can still serve by the simple means of what we call soul contact, simply by establishing that link with the soul in working to, let's say, in meditation, is a tremendous way of serving the needs of this world, because as every human being comes closer and closer to that soul and to make a closer contact with the soul, that is tremendous service for the whole world, for the whole human race, because that's what ultimately will bring the race forward in consciousness is soul contact.
It involves the use of the imagination, I think, this capacity to sense the soul in others, because sometimes we are most vividly aware of just their outer aspect, their appearance, the way they express themselves, the way they handle themselves, the way they speak. But with some imagination, we can develop the ability to see beyond all that, behind all that outer aspect, charming or not. There is the soul. And that is a form of service, as you say, learning to sense that soul quality in oneself and in others, and to never lose sight of that true inner being, regardless of what is happening or the person is doing on the outer level. It's a kind of loving understanding and support that is silent and loyal to the highest aspect of another person. To me, it's a deep form of service.
And it doesn't matter what the age is either.
No.
I mean, one can do this. You know, you think maybe just because you reach 80 years old that, well, everything has to stop now. I'm not capable of thinking anymore, so I'll just vegetate for the rest of my existence. But that could be just the time you begin, because a lot of the people involved in our work and with the Eleusis Trust and the Arcane School are in their 80s and even 90s, and age is not a factor.
In fact, I have a friend who was telling about her mother, who is now in her early 90s, who recently had to be moved into assisted living because, as my friend put it, her mother is losing her mind. Mm. She's very old, and she's becoming senile. But this woman's mother has been a wonderful person and a spiritual companion and inspiration to my friend from the beginning of her life. She loves her mother. And she was telling me recently about going to visit her mother in her new home, and what a joy it is to just be with her. She doesn't really have much to say anymore. She doesn't really remember too much about where she is. She's just a presence. And she's such a benign, loving, radiant presence that my friend said, it's beautiful to just sit with her. I find that extraordinary. But that, I think, is a quality of humanity, of the soul, that comes through that person, regardless of what has happened to the brain and the personality. Her mm-hmm. true beauty of character and her true radiance still emanate, regardless of what she says or does.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you hope.
Right. Even, I think, people facing death can still serve, because if you think about it, you're approaching the time when you're going to make the transition, and you may think that this is the time when you have to give up, but if you still have your mental faculties about you, then one can still serve, one can still meditate, one can still say the great invocation. And in fact, I know of a friend of ours who did that. She was dying of cancer. And as she was making a transition, she was sounding out the great invocation along the way. And this is an excellent way of providing that sense of continuity from the physical personality life into the realm of the soul, because one is essentially, you're moving across that, through the veil, I'm trying to say, directly back to the soul. You're recovering yourself, and of course the keynote of the life of the soul is that of service.
And the great invocation is that beautiful prayer that Sarah says at the end of each show. Some of you would want to tune into that, and you'll see what Dale is talking about.
Absolutely.
Sarah, did you want to say more about this?
Well, I was trying to think of the name of the best-selling book, and play that was recently in the public consciousness, something with Maury. Jack Lemmon played the Maury person. Tuesdays with Maury, is that it?
Tuesdays with Maury. Yeah.
Okay. That was an example of someone who was serving up to the time of his death by being his loving, radiant, wise self. And I think it's an example of how even to the end of our life, and perhaps most of all then, we can give to others because we don't have any more demands upon life. This is something that old age offers as a kind of liberation. We don't have the ambition and the personal drive and aggression of the younger person who might compromise his sense of goodwill and fair play to get ahead. The older person's liberated from that.
You know, you could really see how beautiful or how meaningful service is. To think that my friend used to derive such pleasure from his service, actually going into the penitentiary and helping people, and that becoming a paraplegic caused him to go into deep depression because he could no longer serve. I hope we can get a copy of this show to him.
Yeah.
Dale, do you have any more to say about this?
No, it's. I think this, as I just want to remind people again, that it can be a very simple thing as providing soul contact, and that's really a very simple way of serving.
Perhaps using this consciousness factor and the imagination and the ability to meditate, we can make the attempt to see life on more realistic terms, see the inner dimension of life, the real underlying meaning of life, and take our gaze off of the outer world, at least some of the time. That's a kind of service that is, I think, so needed in this world where there's so much glamour and illusion that is causing a lot of confusion at this time. And maybe in our next program, we could talk more about distinguishing the real from the unreal. That may be the greatest form of service of all.
And once again, we have an interesting offer for you. The Alice Bailey book upon which the dialogue in this show is based, the title of it is Serving Humanity, and you can get that book from us for $16. Ordinarily, we add on a substantial shipping charge for shipping and handling. But if you mention on a little post-it or something that you you heard the offer mentioned on Inner Sight, and attach that to your little note, we'll give you the book for $16. It's Serving Humanity, and the way you do it is check or money order sent to Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And also, if there's anyone out there who wants to donate to Lucis Trust, that's the way we stay on the air, and you've been very generous with us contributing money, and that helps us to stay on the radio show. We appreciate all the support you've given us in the past, and we welcome any donations that you may give us in the future. And you send all the donations to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.